Good morning, good day, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It's Thursday, October 17th, 2019, and I'm your guest host, Brian Chaffin, sitting in for Kelly Gumon. And with me today is the irascible John Martellaro. John.
How about that? I like that.
Irascible, you like that one? And yeah, also with us, and really, thank goodness, because she's going to actually save this episode, Charlotte Henry.
That's a lot of pressure suddenly.
Yeah,
I'm
not
sure I can live up to it.
See how I rolled her? But when you've got me and then John, we need someone like you to save us.
Freaking Martellaro.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for not making me bleep John's unofficial title here within TMO. All right, so we've got a couple of interesting topics today. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Charlotte, you were the driving force on covering both of these topics. So let's go straight to the Fitbit story. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. So Fitbit, I think it's fair to say, has been kind of trailing behind Apple with the last few years with the emergence and subsequent dominance of the Apple Watch. Now it looks like it's trying to follow Apple Watch into the healthcare space. It's announced a deal with Bristol-Myers Squibb Pfizer alliance.
Squibb.
I'm not going to say that again. It's going to introduce software that will detect irregular heart rhythms, notably atrial fibrillations, which those of you who are watching closely will note is exactly what was introduced with the Apple Watch Series 4 and its kind of its ECG-like functionality.
It's what happens to me when Charlotte comes on the show.
I don't want to know. It's better not to discuss that in public. But
I told you, folks, Charlotte's going to save. She's going to save this episode. Go ahead, please.
Or resign. It could go either way at this point. But yeah, so this is what's happening. And we thought this was interesting when we were chatting off air for a couple of reasons. One, because it seems a couple of years too late, this move from Fitbit, doesn't it? Apple is really pioneered turning these kind of wearable devices not only into things for sport and tracking steps and those kind of things, but also
more. I'm sorry, I feel this is important to interrupt. From an activity tracker to more of a health tracker.
Exactly, that's exactly it. They've totally shifted the kind of raison d'etre of the device, absolutely. And Fitbit now looks to be playing catch up.
Now this is dangerous ground for Fitbit.
Yeah, you're not convinced, are you, John?
No, I'm not. I mean, this is going to have to be done very carefully because in the effort to catch up, there's going to be a sense of urgency and hurriedness. Fitbit doesn't have the financial, technical, science, and money resources that Apple does to really make this work.
And the lawyers.
Remember, Apple didn't get FDA approval. They got FDA sort of a mild blessing, which was a lower level of approval, which we've kind of forgotten about.
And of course, and it is worth noting that Fitbit still is waiting for FDA approval.
Yeah, and I think what happens is that when a smaller company tries to play catch up and emulate a bigger company like this, the sorrowful thing about it is that they end up spending a lot of money, more than they should. They run into technical hurdles, they get frustrated, they spend more money, and then they fall behind further.
Well, that's the thing here,
John.
It
just becomes a rabbit hole, and so that's going to have to be done very carefully.
They're partnering, which probably means licensing, with a major pharmaceutical company, Bristol-Myers,
which is integrated into the hardware of their device.
And I'm also assuming getting some healthcare expertise in, which they presumably don't have in house at Fitbit.
Yeah, I would imagine that Fitbit is licensing. I don't know this for a fact.
They'll pay dearly for this. Yeah,
but it's. I mean, there's a couple of aspects to this that are interesting to me. The first is that Apple has just so clearly rewritten the rules for this space, a space that, of course, that they were, you know, like written out of even before they entered, and even after they
entered. Who was going to wear an app? Apple Watch. Remember that, Brian? No one wanted to wear an Apple Watch.
No one's.
They looked a bit stupid, and who wanted to? No one wanted to wear all the same watch.
Oh my God, they were square. Nobody's going to buy.
No one's
going to
buy them.
Yeah, and here we are. 4 years later? Is that right? Is it 5 years?
Yeah,
April of 15. So, not quite four and a half years.
And no, actually exactly 4.5 years. And so here we are 4.5 years later. We are merely a year and a couple of months or a year and a month after Apple introduces feature with Apple Watch Series 4. And here is Fitbit playing catch up. And, I understand your concerns here. I actually look at this a little bit differently, though. I think this is good for consumers. Like having more choices to be able to better monitor your health. If Apple is pushing the pharmaceutical industry, and if Apple is pushing other device makers to play catch up and add features like this, I think that consumers win.
I totally agree. There's an interesting thing, and here in the UK, I don't know if the similar is happening in the US. At least one major insurance firm here in the UK actually will give you an Apple Watch for free as part of your insurance package if you hit, as monitored by the Apple Watch, certain criteria. So I think it's like 12,500 steps a day, that kind of thing. You have to do certain levels of activity, and it pays for the Apple Watch for you, basically.
Let me ask this. Is this a fantastic perk to encourage people to get healthier, or is this a
Big Brother monitoring?
I was thinking more along the lines of a way for the insurance company to make money from selling hardware because people aren't going to actually meet those goals.
Both.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you're right. I guess the insurance company wins either way.
Yeah. But the point is, that just illustrates to me how central the Apple Watch has become to as a healthy lifestyle product, which is kind of fascinating. It's not how it kind of emerged, as I remember when it was first pitched, right? And now look, and I put it up on the website when it first came out, that video, This Watch Tells Time. By the way, I was in the cinema in the UK the other night, and they showed that the Apple Watch Series 5 This Watch Tells Time advert.
That's a great commercial, one of my favorites.
Right, but in the UK, it's a fantastic commercial, but they showed it. It's narrated in the UK with someone with a UK accent. I think it's like possibly a soft Scottish accent or something.
I was going to ask if they redid the voiceover.
They redid the accent, and it really threw me, I have to say. Anyway, it's a fantastic advert, but the point is, it has become now totally intrinsic to healthy lifestyle monitoring, including this very important, this ECG function, where we've covered stories on the Mac Observer about how people have actually had very serious heart conditions highlighted by this device. That's pretty extraordinary.
If only it would give me a shock on my arm when I eat a cookie.
Does it? Well, if only it did.
That's coming.
We can talk about that another time, John. I mean, we can get you one of those dog collars, John.
Well, you know, John, if Apple is still working on when we haven't had a leak on this for a while.
Blood glucose.
Non-invasive blood glucose monitoring. If Apple is working on that, I know you were quipping there, but that's in the realm of possibility.
Somebody asked me about that the other day, and I had the same discussion. I hadn't heard what was going on. We know that there's a company that has a patent on correlating the sugar of your perspiration to the sugar of your blood. That correlation, that calibration, apparently is very difficult to do. It also depends on the person's individual physiology. And I keep waiting for Apple to nail that, so that they can kind of like warm up my wrist a little bit and measure the sugar in my perspiration. But I imagine that there's a lot of technical hurdles.
I bet you they are not doing it that way, John. I bet they are not sampling or testing or even looking at perspiration. I bet they're doing this through the some kind of looking through the skin at your blood.
That is problematic. I mean, that's easy to do to get your pulse, and but getting the blood sugar out of the optics of the bloodstream, that's, from what I know, that's pretty difficult. Now, there are commercial devices made by medical companies that you can strap onto your arm that will measure your blood sugar. I guess they'll prick you, and then they'll relay the information to your phone where you can upload it and store it and manage it in the health, app, or transmit it to your doctor. But
so
that's an external device that has to talk to your phone.
Would you then, I'm thinking, depending on the price point, which I suspect will be cheaper than an Apple Watch, although there's no guarantee of that, can you see any circumstance in which either of you would fancy getting a Fitbit device instead of an Apple Watch?
Pshaw.
Never.
Pshaw.
No. Okay. No,
yeah, I'm absolutely, and Charlotte, I don't think you and I have ever discussed this directly, but, you know, I've got a Zenith mechanical automatic watch.
I do know this. I do know this about you.
And I'm addicted to the information that Apple Watch gives me. But I think that bringing this feature to more people and to people who are outside of the Apple ecosystem, this you know, any kind of heart rate monitoring, I think that's good. And not only that, it's going to push Apple to go another step.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And that's great for us as consumers, because that the EKG monitoring feature that Apple introduced with Apple Watch Series 4 was pretty groundbreaking and put Apple Watch ahead. So if Fitbit can do this well, do this reliably, and do it relatively inexpensively, it's going to push Apple.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, let's move on to topic two. And again, Charlotte, this is something you covered for us at TMO. So give us the lowdown on the EU and Apple Pay.
Yeah. It's interesting that you were mentioning competition in the last story, because this is also what this story comes down to, which is the EU Commission, which, as we've discussed in various ways on this show and on the site, is kind of turned its sight onto big tech in various ways over the last, in recent months, is now taking a look at Apple Pay. It's kind of started, I don't think it's an official investigation, but it's certainly an unofficial investigation into Apple Pay, particularly around antitrust concerns. Now, part of it has apparently spoken to, quote, market participants about their potential concerns and, you know, wants them to be in touch with them. Part of the issue is that apparently rival payment services cannot use the wallet app.
Same here.
Brian,
that's so,
behave.
That's so ridiculous.
So the EU has been on a bit of a crusade, if I can put it that way, over recent times about antitrust stuff, about big tech stuff in particular. I actually think it's sometimes they've had a case. I think they've probably misfired a bit with this one.
I think so, too. I was thinking the other day about car companies and analogies. I know there is a precedent for being able to put third-party radios and CD players into cars, and they have to respect that. But there's a limit to that, and it can go too far. It's like saying I want to be able to put my gears and parts into the GM engine or into the transmission at will. And so there's just something to be said for engineering development and proprietary technologies that make everything work together. And
right, I mean,
it seems to, as you said, Charlotte, it seems to echo of a misunderstanding of the basic technology.
But to think this through a bit further, is the next thing going to be that Android Pay has antitrust problems because I don't see how the wallet technology and the Android Pay technology differs greatly.
Yeah, right. PayPal can't be a part of Android Pay, and PayPal can't be a part of Samsung Pay. All of these payment systems are proprietary, and this smacks of the same sort of idiocy as requiring all smartphones to be using the same charging plug. And, you know, so yay micro USB, one of the crappiest plugs ever existed. There we go. I'll take that out in post. No one will know what a nincompoop I am.
I think one of the problems in this industry, Brian, is the legislators and politicians and commission members don't really get into the technology at a very deep level. And so they create mental analogs, sort of black box thinking. I saw this myself for the first time when I was at White Sands Missile Range, when I saw a general trying to explain to an audience the combat model that we had written, and every day we're in the code, and every day we're understanding how the model works. And then I saw a general's mind work, making mistake after mistake as his mental model failed him trying to explain what was happening in our model. People create a framework to help them understand things. And then the problem is that framework is susceptible to common sense analogies. And so, you know, if it's a wallet, then everybody's credit card should fit in a wallet. If your credit card's too big to fit into the wallet, then your credit card is not working right with the rest of everybody's wallets. And so, you know, you create these mental analogies, and then they break down at some point because they're lacking in technical sophistication and understanding. And that creates a problem.
Yeah, well, the thing that strikes me here, actually, is I don't see what problem is trying to be solved here. Like most people, I have cards from a variety of banks that I use. I can add all of them to my Apple wallet on my phone, right? Same as I could do on Google Pay on my phone. But that's fine.
When I don't have an Android device.
Correct. Do you know what I mean? So, and someone who has an Android device can add their bank cards to those device, that phone, and it's fine and it works. Same with the iPhone. It doesn't matter. It's not, Apple isn't saying you must work with this bank to have Apple Pay. And Apple is not even saying you must only use Apple card to use Apple. I'm really struggling to see what problem the EU Commission thinks it is uncovering and solving here.
Yeah, like Apple doesn't have a monopoly power, doesn't have close to monopoly power. It is a minority player in the smartphone market. So where is the problem? They're a minority player in the payments market. Where's the problem?
But even if it wasn't, I don't see where the problem is, because if you have an Apple phone, you obviously need the Apple payment system that works with the NFC chip on the phone. Like, I'm really struggling. There are lots of issues and antitrust issues and all sorts of other issues within tech companies, big and smaller, that regulators need to deal with.
Actual problems.
Like proper, legitimate problems.
Right.
I'm genuinely struggling to see what the issue with Apple, the wallet app only working with Apple Pay, I'm struggling to see why that is a problem.
I thought of another good example, Charlotte. So I'm a small company and I make camera lenses. And I'm upset that Apple doesn't allow me to insert my camera lens in place of their camera system on the iPhone. I'm being squeezed out.
That's a fine example. And, I mean, listen, if Apple was the only smartphone maker. Of course, Charlotte, I'm kind of projecting a U.S. vision of antitrust when I keep talking about market share. But if Apple was the only smartphone maker, the EU might have a point, especially if Apple was preventing Venmo from being a thing, or if Apple was preventing any of the other competing services from being a thing. But none of that's the case. This seems completely insane.
Like, I can still use PayPal on my phone.
Yeah,
I can still use TransferWise on my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Very happily.
Very happily.
I just and they're not in the wallet app, but all the bank cards from all the different banks that I may want to have a be a customer of all works within the wallet app. Like I say, I don't want to be a broken record, but I'm really struggling to see what problem there is to be solved here.
I am so entirely and completely with you.
Same here.
I'm really reminded.
Brian, you need to clip that. John agreed with me. Please make sure we have a clip of that for prosperity. Yeah, prosperity.
You need to be able to.
I'll say it again so you can save it as an archive in your bleep file. I agree with Charlotte. She's so right.
Charlotte, what you need there is a speaker and then a button you can hit. And then when John goes to ring his bell, you smack your button and then your speaker will say, "I agree with Charlotte." I like this.
Amazing.
I like this. All right. Well, Charlotte, thank you very much for catching us up on this stuff. Interesting developments for sure. Appreciate it.
Very much so. Have a lovely evening and speak to you guys soon.
Likewise. And John, thanks for being here too. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. My apologies for not being Kelly Gamont. And I hope that everyone has a fantastic Thursday.
Apology accepted.